Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tablet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Olfactory Factory here at Car Talk Plaza. This is a cute little thing.
This is good. You want to read it?
No, I'll let you read it because you like to read.
This is from a very recent issue. Who gets this thing so recently?
Dougie.
A very recent issue of Automotive News. One of the big three, that would be Chrysler, GM,
or AMC, right?
Or AMC, is close to finding the smell of success, literally. Dr. Alan Hirsch, director of the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation, get that? In Chicago, says that an automaker whom he declined to identify has hired him to produce a custom-designed scent. S-C-E-N-T.
Yes.
When sprayed on dealer sales personnel, the scent will make them appear more honest and trustworthy to customers. I mean, can you... they will go to...
Well, all it's really going to do is mask the smell of the beer and the onions.
Well, actually, you know, I heard just this week, I had lunch with my dear friend Polly, who told me that she's been shopping around for a car, and she discovered a new salesman's technique. They must have all gone to the same seminar. Get this. She walks into a dealership, I think it was a Toyota dealership, and she's roaming around, and some salesman comes over, and he says, "Hi, my name is Larry, what's yours?" And she says, "Polly." And he says, "Polly, my wife's name is Polly." And they sit down, and they talk, and he shows her different cars, and they actually get to the point where she's willing to entertain an offer from these guys.
And then someone comes over and says, "Fred, there's a phone call for you with your wife, Harriet."
No.
And by the way,
he's sitting there and he's filling out the form. You know, they have to always fill out the form, so they're going to go take it to the manager. And he says, "Paulie, P-A-U-L.
Oh.
Isn't that? And the only reason she suspects anything is that a couple of days later, she's at a Ford dealership. Guy walks over and says, "Hi, what's your name?" She says, "Polly." He says, "My wife's name is Polly." So that's the latest ploy. So I think the response to that is when he says, "My name is Larry," you say, "Larry, my ex-husband's name was Larry. I hated that SOB."
All right, you ready for ready to take a call?
Yes, I am.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. That's the number to call if you have a question about your car. If you have a question about molar mass, you need Avogadro's number, right?
What's that?
6.02 times 10 to the 23rd.
Isn't it 6.023? What a memory. You never forget Avogadro's number.
No, it's 6.02281738175.
I rounded it to the third place. It's
6.023,
I'll guarantee it.
You want to bet?
$100! That rounded to the third place is a three. That's what my bet is.
I agree.
Hey, you know, we can ask. I'll tell you this later. We'll get
saving something good for later?
We're saving something
Thank
good.
Thank God.
It applies,
so.
However, directly to Avogadro's number.
Can we talk to somebody?
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Scott from Lexington, Kentucky.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
What's happening, man?
Well, I was driving through what I thought was a fairly serene neighborhood, you know, subdivision, mm-hmm. and I saw water on the road in front of me.
Yes.
And now I know, you know, you're not supposed to drive through water regardless of how deep you think it is.
Yeah.
Well, I just kind of guessed it was about 3 inches maybe, mm. and it turned out to be about a foot.
Mm.
And I drive a 1990 Ford Festiva.
Oh! That has a ground clearance of about 7.5 inches.
Yeah, that's if the tires are full. But
and yours weren't.
Well, no, and I got through it fine. And what happened was, I don't know, when I got into the water, something came to my mind about hydroplaning, and you're supposed to slow down. So I took my foot off the gas and kind of coasted through the water.
Good.
Well, I got through actually one more traffic light, and I got to probably the busiest intersection in Lexington, and my car died.
Well, I mean, you were obviously going too fast, because if all you did was take your foot off the gas, that's not good enough unless you were going at a crawl to begin with.
Well, I mean, it was pouring rain, and I couldn't see very well, so I mean, I was probably doing 25-30.
Oh, jeez,
Scott. That's moving, man.
When you go through a puddle of any size, you got to go what, like, the submarine captains do.
Dead slow.
Dead slow.
Well, I thought it was just a little running water, and it turned out to be, you know,
a
culvert.
Yeah.
I was going through. Now, a friend of mine told me my biggest mistake was when I got into the water, I took my foot off the gas. He was telling me that because my car
is
still
nuts.
Injected.
I'll tell you right now, whatever he was going to tell you, he's full of baloney.
Well, let's hear the theory. There may be some. It may hold water.
Okay. What he told me was, I took my foot off the gas, and because it's fuel injected, the tailpipe acted like a straw and sucked the water into the engine.
Ooh, I like it. It's bogus, but I like it.
And I just thought, you know, I didn't know. I was thinking, is there a strategy, besides obviously not going through water to begin with, but you're saying to go through slowly. Is that right?
That's all it is. I mean, it's as simple as that.
What caused your car to die is that you splashed enough water onto the ignition system, the distributor cap and the spark plug wires, to cause short-circuiting. And that's why, even when you did get it restarted, it probably ran lousy for quite a while.
Well, actually, it kept almost backfiring.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the sparks were not occurring at the right time. You were missing sparks in some of the cylinders, and then they would spark, and then they wouldn't spark. You were getting explosions in the exhaust system, and the thing probably ran on two cylinders. So going through the puddle was your problem. Going through fast had even compounded it. And had you gone through it dead slow.
Dead slow.
So the big thing was it got...
With left rudder, slight left rudder, you would have made it.
I feel like the Titanic or something.
Now, what's your friend's name? What's his first name or her?
Kenneth.
Kenneth.
Yeah.
We'll call this the Kenneth suction theory.
So the problem was...
Let's get this straight. Now, he thinks that the tailpipe, which is designed to exhaust things, things are coming out of the tailpipe.
Under positive
pressure coming out of the tailpipe. His theory is if you take your foot off the gas, then that positive pressure becomes negative pressure.
Right.
And it sucks water in. And that water, how big was this puddle? Like 10 feet across?
Oh, no. I'd say about 3 feet across.
But in those few seconds, he thinks that that will suck in water through the tailpipe.
Right.
Into the muffler.
Right.
Through the catalytic converter. Through the exhaust manifold, into the cylinders.
Yeah.
It didn't sounds make a good. Lot
of... Yeah, I like it. I told you I liked it right from the get-go.
It did make a lot of sense to me, but, you know, what can I say? I'm not terribly mechanically inclined. Yeah. But, when my dad always drowned the car, we used to have an old 73 Nova, you know. When he drowned the car, it's because we went and it got up under the hood, you know, and it ruined the carburetor or whatever, you know.
Well, probably what happened to your father's car is exactly what happened to this one.
Oh?
There are some cars, however, on the market that have the air scoop located fairly low, especially cars that have a low hood line, so that when you drive through a puddle, it's possible to actually suck water in through the intake.
Right. Mm. Not through the exhaust.
Right.
But through the intake where the fresh air would be coming in to combust the fuel.
Right. Because at that end, it really is sucking.
Right.
Right. And when that happens, you can hydrolock the engine and you can actually ruin it.
Wow.
Which would have been no great loss in your situation here, but a more valuable car would have been missed.
Yeah. Well, it's got 120,000 on it. I'm thinking, do I need to really get this looked at now? I mean, it's been running.
I wouldn't do anything.
No, okay.
It dried out and that's all. That's
it. Try to cultivate some new friendships, though. Get rid of Kenneth.
Okay.
See you, Scott.
All right,
thanks for calling, man.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Penny from San Diego, California.
Hi, Penny.
Is that Penny with an I?
No. Penny with a Y. Very conservative.
Yes.
From San Diego.
Certainly are.
Sometimes I tell people Penelope, but it's really not.
Oh, it's not. It's really
it's
Penny.
It's Penny.
So, Penny.
I have a kind of a capricious problem with my 1988 Volvo wagon.
Really?
Ooh.
Yes. That I bought from my ex-husband's
What kind of Volvo is this?
This is a 740, 240?
Oh, 240 wagon.
240 DL
wagon. Your workhorse wagon.
Yeah.
When I got the car from her...
Who's her?
Oh, I got it from my ex-husband's wife. His current wife. Okay. This is California.
Yes,
you had to remind us.
Were you wife? Were you were wife number one or two?
No, I was number two.
You were number two, so you got it from number three.
She's number three.
Right.
Oh, won't mention her name. We'll keep her name.
Wife number two gets it from wife number three.
Where's wife number one in this loop? Is she in it?
She's gone. She's in Northern California, and she's changed her name.
Right. She's probably married to wife number four.
No, she's just getting a divorce from husband number two.
Husband number two.
Okay. This is all very interesting. This is what California's all about, huh?
Wow.
I suppose.
All right. So you got this wife.
I got this Volvo
car.
Wagon, and I trusted because she had all the records. I took a friend over. Mm-hmm. I met her. She seemed like a nice person. I mean, after all. And I talked to my ex-husband regularly. He likes her. So I trusted that the car.
Well, he liked you once.
Yes, he did. That's true. Now, mind you, he's an attorney.
Ah. Okay.
So the plot thickens.
So wife number three, you go see her. She seems like a nice person.
And the car seems to be in good shape.
Yeah.
It has the record. She took it in regularly to the Volvo dealership and had it serviced, which
excellent.
I would never do. So I felt like the car was probably all right. I got it home, and it turned out the water pump was bad. So I took it into this man that I had been referred to, who was not a Volvo. He's a British car mechanic. He works on old Morgans and MGs and things like that, but he also fixes Volvos.
Okay.
So he looked at the car. He said, okay, you need a new water pump, and while I'm in there, I'll fix the timing chain. So I replaced the timing chain, and I knew from listening to you all that that was a good idea to have that done. He said the car's in good shape. I took it home, and about 3 months later, it started overheating. And I thought, well, this can't be the water pump. So I took it back to him, and he said, it's probably the sending unit. So he replaced the sending unit.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
it
is
was
the
fine.
Temperature sending unit. So he's suspecting that it isn't really overheating,
right.
But the sending unit is making you think that it's overheating.
It's making the gauge read erroneously.
Right.
Right. And he said if you watch it sometimes, if the gas reading and the heat reading, if the needles are kind of moving in the same direction, it's probably the sending unit. So he replaced it. Well, I drove it around for a few more months. It seemed to be fine. And then it started doing it again out of the clear blue. Mm. And I looked at the sending unit. I looked at the gauge, and it looked like at times the temperature and the gas gauge were just straight across the same. So I thought, okay, maybe it was a bad sending unit. So I took it back in, and he replaced it again.
Mm.
So then I don't know how much time went by, but I was driving up to L.A. to my son's. I drove in bumper-to-bumper traffic from San Diego to L.A. It didn't heat up at all. It was fine. And then
is this the son from your first husband or your second husband?
My first husband. You don't know how many I've had. I've only had two.
Yeah, no, well, I guessed, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
You should know.
I could tell. You know how I could tell, Penny? Because you're a happy person.
Oh.
And the number of husbands or wives you may have isn't going to make any difference to you.
True.
Good for you.
That's me.
Okay, so your son from your first husband.
First husband, right.
You're going up to visit him. Yeah.
Yes, and the car was fine. Mm-hmm. Oh, in fact, I was driving up with my other son who kept saying, don't worry about the car, relax. We're going up, have a good time, because I was worried that it was going to overheat. But it didn't.
Now, the other son is also from the first husband?
Yeah, they're both from the first husband.
I suspected that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we drive around L.A. We don't have any trouble. And then we start to drive back to San Diego. And it happens to be a warm day in the San Fernando Valley. And all of a sudden, the car heats up to almost the red. My son says, don't worry, it's not in the red. It couldn't have heated up that fast. It's probably a false reading. And it didn't overheat. And I made it all the way home. I waited till evening. I went home. Then the next day, it did it again. Then it stopped for maybe another week or two, and it didn't overheat. And being a woman, I keep thinking, oh, okay, it's just going to go away.
I keep thinking that about these terrible pains I've been getting in my chest. It'll go away.
They will eventually, rest
right.
assured.
Now, have you noticed any correlation between the overheating and whether it happens when you're driving in the city or driving on the highway?
It happens when I'm on the freeway.
Yes, I suspected that.
Uh-huh. And it also happens, it happened when I was going up a hill.
Mm-hmm.
That was another time.
Yeah.
And I think if I turn on the air conditioning, because I've been afraid to since last year, I think turning on the air conditioning will make it happen.
You bet.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I suspect that you have a blockage someplace in the cooling system.
Yeah. You've got a real overheating problem.
Or a faulty thermostat.
Yeah.
And he should have changed the thermostat just as a matter of course. Because
he didn't. He didn't.
He didn't. He should have done that.
Okay.
And if that didn't solve your problem, then he should take the radiator out and have it flow tested.
Okay.
Because the problem is in one of those two places.
Okay.
It definitely sounds like you have an overheating problem because you've got restriction someplace, probably in the radiator.
Yeah.
And you made how many miles on this beast?
110.
Well, it may be time for another radiator.
It seems to be all right. It doesn't lose any water.
No, it wouldn't.
No, it's plugged up inside.
Ah.
Which means the water can't flow through the little tubes.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the water cool off. It flows down the little tubes, and then the air blows across it, grabs the heat and throws it away. But if the coolant is not flowing through the tubes fast enough, it's not cooling fast enough,
okay,
and the temperature goes up.
Okay.
That's kind of like an arterial blockage.
Yeah, I know
exactly.
About that.
You need a radioplasty.
Right.
Radioplasty. I like that.
Good luck, Penny.
Thank you.
Say hello to all your husbands, wives, everybody.
Will do.
Sons.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, look, to help you remember last week's puzzle, we're going to play the game we played in the last few weeks.
I remember.
The word association game. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Prodigal.
Son.
Head of.
The Charles.
Household is what I was actually
Household.
Talking about.
Household.
Hairpiece.
Toupee.
No, appliance is what I was looking for.
Appliance. So
yes.
Now we got son,
household and
appliance.
I'll have that answer.
I remember it.
Oh.
I remember it. My God, I remember it.
Well, save can it, will you? Put a cork in it, buddy. We'll have the answer in just a minute. After we gag my brother.
Well, I always wanted me a Lincoln 59. Big black shiny chrome fins point to the sky. Well, you grab a 6, I'll grab the bowl. Come on, little honey, now here we go. Oh, Lincoln 59, let that baby unwind. Oh, Lincoln 59, let that baby unwind. Someday I'm gonna get me a Lincoln 59. I'll take her out on the highway and let that baby unwind. I'll be a rocket ship running through space. I ain't going nowhere because I'm in my place behind the wheel of that Lincoln 59.
And even though Julius Caesar clutches his chest and whispers, "Et tu, NPR," whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
You know, I drive junky cars.
Hello, this is Nina Totenberg.
When my husband and I were courting, he was really scandalized by my very old Mazda 626. And when we were invited to a state dinner at the White House, he said that I should rent a fancier car. I refused, of course. It's amazing to think that I could turn that dumpy car into my favorite programs.
Just visit the Car Talk vehicle donation program at cartalkvdp.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzle, which my brother just remembered.
Yeah, those were great clues, son. Household. Appliance. What was the other one? That was it.
Well, anyway, we had a debate among the staff about this puzzler last week, because I presented it to the staff.
And nobody
to see how it
it
would fly, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think the consensus was...
I remember this
that
consensus.
It was
there were a lot of these...
Bogus. Oh, that stinks!
But now, I think it was sour grapes because not a one of us figured it out.
That's right. That's right.
That doesn't mean it's a bad puzzler.
No.
It just means that we might
stupid.
Have no winners and we'll save $25.
Well, here it is. My son was performing a common household task, something that each and every one of us has probably done many times.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me, is 50 enough, pa?
Pa.
I said, no, I don't think so. He said, how about 125? I said, no, I don't think that's enough either. I'd try 90. And the question was, what household task was he performing where this would be true?
Yeah.
And I would be willing to bet that most people, because our staff didn't have any clue, or most people don't know that this...
Staff has no clue about anything.
Oh, yeah, they can't find their butts in the shower. What he was doing was he was using the microwave oven.
Oh, yes!
Where 90, when you punch in 90 start, is 90 seconds,
which is a minute and 30 seconds.
And it's more than 125, which is a minute
and
25 seconds, not 125 seconds.
No.
So, there. And, of course, they were doubting Thomas's among us, including
they all said,
whom? My brother Thomas.
I'm the one who ran over to the microwave to prove that you were right. Because Dougie kept saying, no, if you put in 125, it's going to be 125 seconds, to which we said, Doug, I think you might be wrong about that.
Yes.
And indeed, when you put in 125, it reads it as a minute and 25
right,
seconds.
In fact, when it gets to when it's counted off the last of the 25 seconds, it jumps to 59.
Yeah.
And who's our winner this week?
Wow. The winner is Amy Moore from Pownall, Vermont. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers, Amy's going to get a $25 gift certificate to Car Talk's Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get a Car Talk t-shirt or a special Kids Car Talk t-shirt, which says, Help! My parents make me listen to Car Talk.
We'll have a new, I don't know how to describe this puzzler.
How can you describe it? You haven't figured out which one it is yet.
We'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about your car at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chandler. I'm calling from Denver.
Chandler?
Yes.
From Denver?
Yes.
Chandler?
That's an unusual first name.
Well, I know
for a woman.
To tell you. My last name's even wilder.
Even
anyway.
Wilder?
Yes.
Ooh, Chandler's even wilder than the last girl I went out with.
There's a hyphen in there?
No.
No, it's just a sentence.
It's just a sentence. That's right. Well, anyway, I have this problem. I have a Ford Escort wagon, a 95. Mm-hmm. It's not the problem. The problem is that about a month ago, I came out one morning and my hubcaps were gone. And I assumed they were stolen.
That happens when you have an expensive car like that.
I know.
Yeah, these high-end cars.
High-end cars. I mean, the all the parts are very, very desirable.
I know. And the plastic hubcaps. Can you imagine? Somebody really wanted those things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm actually getting used to the way it looks without the hubcaps.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. But I wanted to know, my husband and I were discussing, do we really need hubcaps? What function do they serve?
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Can I go without?
Well, you can go without, obviously.
You can.
I mean, you have been going without since they
True.
Were stolen.
Yeah. I mean, about the only thing they do, I think, is to keep the lug nuts and the studs from rusting.
Uh-huh.
But big deal.
Well, they actually serve another important function. If a lug nut falls off.
Yeah, you can hear it.
And winds up in between the hubcap and the wheel.
You'll
hear it rolling around in the air. It'll sound like a bunch of stones being in a washing machine.
Uh-huh.
And that might alert you to the fact that the other ones are about to fall off, and hence the wheel falls off.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That would be too good, would it?
And if you don't have hubcaps, then the last sound you hear is the passengers screaming as you...
as they plunge to their death into the ravine.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well,
so that I suppose that's a good reason for having the wheel covers on there. Other than that, they're only decorative.
Okay, so that's what we thought.
Yeah.
And maybe what
Wheel nut theory here is very crucial. I mean, it really is important.
Well, you know, we had a Subaru that it didn't have hubcaps over the nut. Wheel nut.
And there are a lot of cars that don't have that even have hubcaps, but for example, like Hondas, a lot of Hondas, the hubcap is held on by the wheel nuts.
Right.
Oh.
So that when you lose the wheel nuts, the last wheel nut you lose the wheel nut. The hubcap, the wheel, and your life. All in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
So when you see that hubcap go flying, you know, hit the brakes.
Yeah.
When you see that hubcap going speeding ahead of you, you know that your minutes are numbered.
Oh, God. Okay,
yeah. I would replace them.
Okay.
Get four different ones. That will thwart the next would-be thief.
Well, actually, that's a really good idea. We thought about painting them or doing something really ugly to them so people wouldn't steal them.
No, this car is already ugly enough. I don't think I'd tamper with its inherent ugliness.
I didn't know there were any thieves in Denver. I thought Denver was a little utopia.
Well,
I thought so, too. I mean, every time I've been to Denver, it seems so idyllic and wonderful.
Well, surprise.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Things happen here.
Yeah.
Well, Chandler, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tough it out.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Thanks for calling, Chandler.
Okay, thank you.
Even wilder.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Wilder.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to chase the mice out of the MG?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. Now, on Stump the Chumps, we bring back a previous caller to find out if our advice was actually helpful.
Or more likely, actionable. So who's this week's chump stumper anyway?
The contestant today is Ellen from New York City, and Ellen has the honor of being the first ever repeat Stump the Chumps contestant.
What, we screwed it up twice?
Actually, no. This is just a second follow-up visit. Ellen first called us complaining that her then-fiancé, Bruce, was spending all kinds of time and money buying performance-enhancing accessories for their 94 Blazer. We told her, don't worry, but we told her to encourage him by, I think these were your words, you said you should embrace his hobby because he would eventually get sick of it.
Well, we may have underestimated the power of the J.C. Whitney catalog, huh?
Apparently we did.
I think that was my recommendation, if
right.
I'm not mistaken.
But what we want to know is, did you marry him or did you dump him and did you force him to live on the streets of New York in the Blazer?
No, I'm a newlywed. We were married 2 months ago.
No kidding!
Really? So you've married him since we've spoken to you.
Yes.
Against our advice.
And is he still, like, fixing up this Blazer?
Oh, yes. Now the problem has escalated, though.
Oh.
Because we're back in New York and we're back, you know, from the honeymoon. And he now, I guess the honeymoon's over because at night he stays up and he's on the internet looking for high performance parts on the internet.
Damn internet.
I hate it.
Okay, so our first strategy of embracing the hobby failed miserably. So what do we tell Ellen to do next?
Well, since they were married by then, we drew on our own vast marital experiences in solving marital problems, and we recommended the time-honored method for settling spousal disputes.
Counseling?
No.
Active listening?
No. Spite. If he was going to spend all that time reading the J.C. Whitney catalog, then Ellen had to come up with another hobby of her own, like maybe another guy.
Great. Well, let's find out what happened. Ellen, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey.
All right, well, tell us what happened.
Well, I took your advice.
Uh-huh. You got another boyfriend?
No, I got a hobby, but see, it was a compromise. My hobby was that I got pregnant.
Oh.
But and with
that'll show him.
But it was very clever. Your advice was very clever, and my hobby was clever because there are so many gadgets for babies.
Oh,
that
yes.
His attention has now, it hasn't gone away from the car, but it has now turned its way over to all the baby gear.
Yay!
Well, I realize that this is a trick that women use to get husbands, to snap husbands out of their childhoods.
Well, why didn't we think of this, actually? I mean, she had to come up with the idea of what the hobby was. We didn't I don't think we deserve that round of applause.
No?
This was the best idea ever.
But you know what helped me? That McLaren, who makes race cars, also makes carriages.
So up until the time that you got pregnant, your husband was still buying ridiculous stuff for his Blazer.
Yes.
And then you announced, hun, have I got news for you?
Right.
And he gradually has shifted his attention to all that weird stuff. I mean, the paraphernalia for babies is even more. Wow.
Right, but at least it's now family, or it's a project we can do together.
Of course.
So he's embraced this whole childhood, parenthood thing.
Oh, he's way into it, and I firmly believe it's only because of the gadgets.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all right. If that's the best you can do, that's the best you can do.
I'll take what I can get.
How pregnant are you, Ellen?
I'm due next month.
God love you. And do we know if it's a boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
It's a girl.
But hopefully she'll like cars.
And he has already got the whole place all decked out with, like, the swing that you hang up between the door.
Right, and we have these walkie-talkies that have a 2-mile radius. there's a lot of electronic things that you need for babies.
You do.
He's just going from one wacko hobby to another. I don't think there's really any hope for him, but do his best.
Well, he wants equal time because he feels that he needs to defend himself at some point to you two.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Excellent.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Ellen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, by the way, if you hear a caller who you think would make a good candidate for Stump the Chumps, you can email us from cartalk.com, where we're always open to suggestions.
Other than suggestions about where we can stick our show, we already have enough of those. If you have a question for us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2782-5555.
Now you're getting the hang of it.
I love it.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Mike Abate from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Mike.
No last names, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Portland, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What's going on, Mike?
Well, 40 years ago, my Uncle Dick moved from Moline, Illinois to Long Beach, California, courtesy of the U.S. Navy.
Got it.
And for his 60th birthday, I'm giving him a trip to retrace his roots along Route 66. And he and I are going to do this trip this summer. And my question is, well, actually two questions. First is, what's the ultimate road car for the ultimate road trip? And then how do I get my hands on this car for a one-way trip?
Oh, legally, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, there's only one car that it can be.
Yeah, I know the car.
Yeah.
I've got one in my mind, so
what
I'm
do you
curious.
Got? What's in your mind?
I'm thinking a PT Cruiser.
No.
No?
Well, you're on the right track, but...
Okay.
You're 40 years too late. I'm thinking a 54 Corvette.
There you go. Isn't that what Martin Milner and who else?
Yeah, that other
guy. Who's the co-star of that show? You may remember, Mike, because you may be old enough.
I'm not, unfortunately.
You're not, huh? Well, maybe Uncle Dick remembers.
Uncle Dick, no doubt.
He's, a TV show called Route 66.
Yeah.
Where these two basically vagabonds. Miraculously had enough money to drive around.
They were two bums who could afford a Corvette.
A brand new Corvette. And basically, they just rode up and down Route 66, and wherever it took them, they solved one crisis after another. And, you know, it was a kind of a human interest kind of show.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, I think it's, I could live with a 54 through 60 Corvette, but I think it should be a car.
Or a 63 with a split.
No, I mean.
Yeah, sure.
It should be the car that he could have driven back 40 years ago.
Oh, there you go.
Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would like, you know what would be the right car to drive this route on with, rather, is a 57 DeSoto.
Oh, that, I could go for that. A 57 DeSoto.
Did they make DeSotos in 57 still?
No.
That would be even better.
But a 57 Chrysler or Plymouth or Dodge.
Yeah.
With the big, big, big fins.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like to see you do this in a Chrysler product of some kind.
You'd think so. Why
yeah.
Okay. Chrysler?
I don't know. It just feels right.
It does feel okay. Right, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, now the next question is, where are you going to get one?
For a one-way trip.
Where's he going to drive from? He's going to go from...
We're going backwards. We're going from Santa Monica to Chicago.
Oh.
Along Route 66.
For a one-way trip.
Because I'm flying back from Chicago to Portland, and he'll fly back to Orange County.
He's in Southern California.
He's in Orange County, yeah.
That's where you're going to find a car like this.
Yep.
And it only has to make it one way.
That's true. I mean, you might be able to find someone. It's unlikely, but it's possible. You might be able to find someone who would be kind enough to lend you a car that he has spent the last 20 years of his life refurbishing, and he's going to give it to a couple of wackos like you. No.
That was a stupid idea.
That was a stupid idea.
You believe in miracles.
But I would certainly look in the Santa Monica newspaper.
Yeah.
And I know you'll find one. I mean, in a nice Chrysler 300 convertible.
We may have among our many listeners
someone who
needs a car transported from California to Chicago.
Wow. Wouldn't that be great if that were true?
That would be awesome.
In fact, if you go to our website and just put up your request, say, here's what you want to do.
And we'll treat it with TLC and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'll pay you money.
I wouldn't offer money at first.
Sure.
Yeah, because you'll be offering a lot of money after you smash it up.
Yeah, you may find just the right person.
You may. That would be wonderful.
Yeah,
that
would be terrific.
I wish you the very best. And
thanks
happy birthday to Uncle Dick.
All right.
See you later.
Recapture the past.
There you go. Have a blowout every 50 miles. All right. It's time. It's my brother's turn to refill the coffees.
I'm going to get the coffee?
Oh, good. While you're out, can you get me one, too? And when we come back, I'll have this week's new puzzler.
Great.
Well, I learned how to walk in a junkyard lot with a fist full of gears, a nose full of snot, and I could rebuild a tranny by the age of 12 and chopped and dropped a Merc coupe all by myself. And now you tell me, hon, the deck is stacked against a man who makes a living off his back. Well, I don't drink like a doctor, I don't lie like a lawyer. Still, you swear that the life of the wife of a gearhead is gonna destroy you.
And even though anger management counselors stomp up and down on their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk...
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish...
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean...
old. Previously aired,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Ha! We're back. You're
listening to... Don't scare me like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. Now, this was sent in by, I can only assume, a young man whose name is Christopher from Atlanta. I can't tell anything else. No last name or anything like that, but he's somewhere out in cyberspace.
Yeah.
Sent by email.
Yeah.
Even though I don't accept email puzzlers,
that's
I accepted
right.
this because it was grammatically correct and no spelling mistakes.
Good.
Here it is. It says, in honor of President's Day. And don't forget, this is for the kids in the group.
Honor of President's Day, which was, what, 5 or 6 months ago?
Hey, no, this is a year old, this one.
Oh, okay.
It's for next year's President's
Day. In honor
Day.
Of President's Day. Okay.
He writes, my friend Max says to me, I just read that 3 of the first 5 presidents of the United States died, ready for this, on the 4th of July.
What?
Did you know that? It was the fireworks that did it, I think. What do you think the odds of that happening are? I reply, no idea. But I'll give you 10-to-1 odds that I can name at least one of the 3. Now, I don't know anything, he writes, about the first 5 presidents, except that their names are Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe.
That's
in that order.
4 more than I knew.
Yeah, me too. Well, I knew Lincoln and Reagan.
Yeah.
How am I justified in offering my friend 10-to-1 odds when guessing randomly I have only a 3 in 5 chance? That's the question. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a nice new $20 bill and send it to Christopher at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John from New York.
Hey, John.
New York City?
Yeah, New York City.
Manhattan, New York City?
You got it.
Really?
Yeah, my car question is germane to my situation here in New York, actually.
Yeah.
I have an 87 Tercel, but since moving here to New York about 3 or 4 years ago, we put it in a garage.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we never get out of the city.
Yeah.
We take it out, so it gets out maybe once a month, sometimes maybe not for a couple of months, 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned, when we do take it out, we're usually going for a fairly long trip, and I'm concerned that a period of time where it's sitting in the garage, like the oil's turning to gum or something like that. Is there anything I should be doing to make sure that it's that period of time is okay?
How long a ride would you go on every 2 or 3 months?
Well, typically...
come to Boston, for example?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. And the garage in which it's parked is where? In your building?
No, it's down. It's in the city, but it's out close to the highway.
Does anyone who's in charge of the garage have the keys to your car so they like could move it?
Yeah, they right, exactly.
Rest
they
assured, can't. It's being used on a regular basis. Yeah,
and you have nothing to worry
right.
about.
I wouldn't be the least bit concerned.
Yeah, have you noticed little holes in the roof? That's where the taxi sign was.
So I shouldn't be at all concerned?
Well, I wouldn't really be concerned. I mean, you might want to make sure that you change the oil every 6 months.
Okay, so should I change it more frequently than I would by mileage?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Okay. You should do it more than you would by mileage.
Yeah, I would say if you're planning a trip, if you you travel every 6 months, or more often than that.
Before
you take that trip, change the oil and filter.
Okay.
Other than that, the other fluids are fine. I mean, the antifreeze doesn't care how long it sits there. It'll be perfectly all right. I mean, you may have a seal that dries up here or there. You may develop a little leak. But the nice thing about an 87 Tercel is that's an 87 Tercel.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, John.
See ya.
Good luck, John.
Hi. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Kevin in Tallahassee.
Kevin.
How you doing?
Do we know you, Kevin? Have we spoken to you before?
I don't believe you have, but I've been on your website since it started.
Ah, that's where we met you.
Yeah, I saw you there.
It could be a virtual meeting.
It could be. What's shaking?
Well, I got the 91 Isuzu pickup truck.
Yeah.
And I had replaced the O2 sensor some months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the O2 sensor light would not go off.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to mechanics. I tried the manual. I tried following the instructions that were with the new sensor because I did it myself.
Oh, because the sensor light has nothing to do with the sensor.
Yeah, it's actually something else.
Yeah.
And I can't find any manuals anywhere that tell me what that something else is.
Because you don't have the secret handshake.
You don't have the decoder book.
Oh, no.
The jockey guidebook.
So there you are driving your Isuzu, and you probably have reached some multiple of 30,000 miles recently.
That would be
That would be 60.
Nope. It's got 115,000.
Ooh.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a multiple of 30.
somewhere is a multiple of 30.
Yeah.
But it hadn't come on before this?
No, it hadn't come on before this.
It's broken then.
Uh-oh.
Okay, what makes the light come on for most cars that have some kind of a maintenance reminder light,
right,
is what it's called, is mileage.
Right. It's not telling you that there was anything wrong with the O2 sensor, but you ran out and replaced it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm, I sure did.
Well, it was probably not a bad thing to do, although in theory, oxygen sensors can last forever because they have no moving parts.
Well, in theory, so can we, but we don't.
Well, you have. I have. My brother has no moving parts. For sure. So anyway, what happened is at some point the odometer tripped this thing and turned the light on, and now you have to find the reset button.
Uh-oh.
And on some cars, and I don't know what it is on this Isuzu, there's a button under the dash. Some cars there's a wire you have to unplug. Some cars have a wire you have to cut or something somewhere buried behind one of the kick panels. And if you were to go to your Isuzu dealer, they probably wouldn't divulge its whereabouts.
Probably not, huh?
No.
But for $50, they'll turn off the light. Now, for $29.95, we can sell you a roll of Click and Clack oxygen sensor black tape. This is a much, much more cost-effective way of dealing with this problem.
If I knew exactly where it was... I would tell you, but I can't. I'm sworn to secrecy. I couldn't possibly tell you.
I tell you what, if you email us, I will look it up in the locator, and I will email you back.
Okay.
How's that?
I'll do that.
All right,
cool.
Thanks, guys.
And if you don't hear from us, call Doug Berman at his house. That's area code 617.
Yeah.
What is the rest of the
547.
Number? 547.
I forgot his name.
5-4
No.
6-6-7-8-4
5
Okay, there you go, Kev.
Thanks.
All right, man. Good luck.
See you now.
And call him late at night. He never sleeps.
No. He
loves to get calls. He loves to get calls 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, about Eastern time, I think.
Anytime. Eastern, Western,
you
name it.
Use whatever clock you want, and he'll be
like
there.
If you're in, like Japan and you get the urge to call him?
Call him.
Go for it.
Okay.
See you later, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
We're evil.
Yeah.
What is it about guys that makes them evil? A woman would never do that.
To another woman?
To another woman. To anybody. They would say, that's not funny.
Well, guys.
Guys can take a joke. Yeah.
Well, some. By and large.
That's right.
By and large, guys can take a joke. You know why they can take a joke? Because they know it's fun getting back.
They know how funny it is from the other side.
Exactly.
Because men have empathy. and women don't.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
I guess that's what it boils down to.
Yep.
Boy, oh boy, we feel we happy few. we bantam brothers.
Yeah. So you want to sleep in my garage tonight, or shall I sleep in your garage?
I'll be over. Oh, boy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Teresa Bush.
Hi, Teresa.
Now, is there an H in that?
No H.
Where are you
no
from?
H.
I'm from Juneau, Alaska.
Juneau. Now, when was the last time? I guess you're not the right person to necessarily ask this.
Why? Because she's a wacko living in Juneau? Is that the implication here?
That was, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't say anything like that. I just thought she wasn't representative of the average American woman.
I could read your mind, couldn't I? She's a wacko from Juneau.
But when was the last time?
Average American woman.
When was the last time you played a practical joke
on one of your girlfriends?
On anybody. Girlfriend or boyfriend or anybody.
You know, like tying their shoelaces together.
Or putting black shoe polish on the phone and say, hi, Millie, it's for you.
Or setting their hair on fire. And it's something real fun.
It's been a while.
But women, I think women tend to, you know what? It must be that mothering instinct.
You know what it is? They're mature.
Oh.
See, someone's got to grow up on the planet. Otherwise, we would have 5.5 billion people playing practical jokes.
You people, hot feet. I mean, you can't know what it's like to stick a lit cigar between somebody's toes at the beach and watch that burn down.
Yeah, I mean, but if everyone was doing it, it would. You have to.
It would get old.
It would get old. So, Teresa, thanks for calling.
No problem.
What's up?
Well, I have a 1976 Toyota Land Cruiser.
Wow.
Nothing to joke about there.
Wow. No.
And it's running, huh?
It runs like a charm.
No kidding.
Other than, I think I have a carburetor problem.
Aha.
What does it do that makes you think it has a carburetor problem?
I go to start it up, and it turns over. But it acts like it's not getting gas into the carburetor. It just goes on until the battery. I can keep trying it until the battery goes dead.
Really?
Right.
Do you pump the gas pedal a few times?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, it has an automatic choke. Or not an automatic choke, manual choke.
Okay.
Even with that out, I tried that. It still acts like it's not getting gas. And so I've got out, hooked it up to my husband's old Ford that's sitting in the driveway. As far as jumper cables go, and then I put about a tablespoon of gasoline into the carburetor, and it will backfire and start.
Why do you wait till the battery goes dead before you do
right,
this?
Do the gasoline thing first.
That's more fun, I suppose.
I'm playing with fire.
Right.
I'm a little worried about it, but
this is more likely to be a problem if the thing has been sitting for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it will sit for maybe 3 days, and then that's when it happens.
Right.
If it does sit for 3 days, that's when it happens.
Exactly.
Okay, so if it sits for 2 days, it starts most
right.
of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because what's happening is the gasoline is either evaporating from the carburetor or somehow more likely leaking out.
Not in Juneau, Alaska.
No,
it's probably frozen in there.
And the fuel pump doesn't have enough oomph. To especially when it's 29 degrees below zero and the engine is this has a mechanical pump.
Uh-huh.
And now you're asking the fuel pump to suck gasoline out of the tank and fill up the carburetor enough to start the thing. And the reason the teaspoon of gas works is that when you crank that engine and it starts and backfires that 7 seconds that it runs or whatever,
uh-huh.
That's enough to get that fuel pump instead of going pump, 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 pump to go ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da and fill up the carburetor and then it starts.
I see.
So you have a variety of options.
Yes,
here.
You do.
You could try just starting the thing up every day for even a second,
mm-hmm.
and that would probably solve the problem. Or you could install an auxiliary electric fuel pump.
Ooh.
And in the summer, when you would get vapor lock, this will assist in diminishing the effect. You don't have a summer, do
they
you?
They don't have summer.
No.
Well,
not
we
really.
Kind of do.
What are you doing in Juneau, Teresa? You now that we've spoken to you, you don't sound like a wacko.
I'm a massage therapist, and I
she is a wacko.
Wouldn't you want to? Pardon, you know, I hate to ask an impertinent question, but wouldn't you want to be where there are people?
Evidently not.
No. No, actually, I'd rather be where there's fish. I like the fish.
You like to massage fish?
Yes. Yes.
Hey. Talk about kinky.
They're more responsive.
Well, I mean, she likes to be with her husband, and that's it. And that's very nice. Yeah.
So did you follow him there? Did he follow you? Or did you, this was a
did
mutual?
Did you meet there, or did you go
actually,
there together?
Actually, we met here.
You met there.
We met here.
Ice fishing?
Ice fishing?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell do you do with Joe? I mean, I hate to get... What? Come on already.
No, there's lots of things. We're in,
name
in the
two.
Middle of... I have a glacier. Like
name two, and snow can't be one of them. You have a glacier. That doesn't count.
Yeah. It doesn't change much from day to day, really, right? Yeah.
Are there any trees?
Lots.
Yeah. Oh,
lots
yeah.
Of trees.
Yeah.
Lots of trees okay. In my backyard.
All right. Well, we've given you enough of a hard time, and you've been very charming, and we'd like to have you leave with a cash prize, but,
but you know,
we don't have any cash prizes, and you really don't qualify. So.
But it's been
so far away, right?
It's been a joy talking to you, Teresa. Thanks
you
a lot.
You guys have been great. Hey, thanks for the advice.
See you later.
I'll try that.
What was the advice? I forgot what she asked us.
I don't remember, but it was great anyway. Well, it's happened again. You've vaporized yet another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion Berman.
And what was his phone number again?
Our associate producer and dean of the College of Auto. And you know, especially, he don't call him next week. He's going to be on vacation.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait a week.
Yeah.
Because he might not be home. But leave a message.
Better still, call tonight. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Kalamazoo, Cordon Bleu, Beef Stew, and Charleston Chew, Bird Flu Boogaloo, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our furnace repairman is Levon Coates. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pence. You want some Chip Pence? Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our staff ethicist is Morley Krupp. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our big band leader is Juan Anatu. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Chittiman Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shifty-eyed magicians in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1511. Download other fine episodes and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can also keep up on actual car news. Now, Car Talk's posse of bloggers posts automotive stories you might have missed, with Car Talk's take on them, of course. For instance, here's a story about the auto industry's increased use of aluminum. Car Talk's take is that GM should stop recalling cars and just urge owners to crush them against their foreheads. Get all of your automotive news from Car Talk's Facebook page or at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though 47 U.S. senators start working on a threatening letter to NPR's president whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.